Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Alampi's back. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, founder of Alampi & Associates, creator of the Execution Maximizer, which we've talked about on the show before, author of Great to Excellent, and he's our good friend, Jim. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you back. So, as you know, and as my audience knows, and they're rolling their eyes right now because I just won't get off of this CEO soapbox, Jim. I keep trying to remind them that as the small business founder, as the owner of the company, yes, they have to manage. Yes, they have to become, they have to spend a good bit of their time as the general manager, most of us do. But if that's all we do, if we never separate ourselves from and differentiate our time and our energies and our focus between managing and being the chief executive, then we're always going to be working in our business and not working on our business. And talk to us about the role of the CEO. You're one of the best at this. We need more perspective. All of us do. Need more perspective on how to claim the role of CEO. What do you think?
Well, as you've said many times, you can work in the business, you can work on the business. There are lots of people around who can work on the business that are in the business. There are relatively few, and that starts with the owner, CEO, who can truly work on the business. And if they're not working on the business, nobody is. So I have long said there's four things that I know I can't delegate to anybody else that are my responsibility as an owner, CEO. And number one, setting direction for the company. Number two, making sure we've got the right people in place and developing those people. Number three, making sure everybody's got resources to do their job. And last, removing obstacles that might get in people's way. And those are my big four. If I'm not doing those four, nobody is.
Well, let's talk about those. And, you know, the setting the direction for the company, one of my mentors once said to me and some of the other people who were helping him run the company, he said, you know, guys, I want your input. He said, but you got to realize this is not a democracy. he said, at some point in time, the final decision lands on me, and the direction of the company, for the most part, is heavily weighted in the CEO's office, isn't it?
It is, and that input is critical to gain from people, not only for their knowledge and understanding, but their buy-in to whatever that direction is going to be.
Right.
But as you say, the guy who's got risk capital in the business gets the last call.
Well, the words he used, folks, was setting the direction for the company. That's not the same thing as learning and understanding and deciding about the direction of the company. You're going to get all kinds of input to take those steps, but setting the direction of the company, that falls upon as Truman said, that's where the buck stops, isn't it? Right there at the CEO.
Sure is. And now, that means you've got to test and challenge and ask clarifying questions and really help your team start to understand what the boss is thinking and why he's thinking that way.
Yeah.
Often, you know, my definition of the word strategic is that you're always thinking about the implication on the future of the decisions you make today.
That I love that word, implications. This is a word that I've, in the last two or three decades, have really tried to contemplate and to keep and make sure it's in my lexicon, because if you can think about implications, that's how you become a visionary, isn't it? That's how you become a futurist for your own business. If you can imagine the implications of forces that are coming at you and the steps that you take, what do you think?
It is, and one of the most important things that an owner CEO ought to be doing is taking his team off-site or wherever he needs to do some scenario planning. What's the worst-case scenario that could happen to us? What's the headline that we might read in the newspaper tomorrow that would scare the bejesus out of us? The great CEOs and owners are constantly thinking about those kind of future issues and doing some planning ahead of time, not in a reactive mode when they're under the gun.
Right. Now, one of the things that's implicit in doing what you just said is taking people off site. Well, you don't want to take people off site if they're not the right people, right? You need to surround yourself, and that's your second point, is getting the right people in place and developing them. So, and when you say develop, you're not talking about helping them become better managers. You're talking about helping them become better leaders, aren't you?
Exactly, and it's not easy, but you can expose people to things that will help them start to think more strategically, and that's really the role of the leader. I need those people around me, my team. I need them to be able to work on the business with me and elevate themselves up and out of the in the business stuff. And that's where delegation comes in and accountability and the things that go hand in hand with being a great leader.
Well, and those are the people that are critical if you're going to make yourself a better and more of a CEO, because as you know, Jim, and you and I've talked about this, if the way to become a better CEO is to fire yourself from jobs you don't have to do and promote yourself to jobs that only you can do. And you can't fire yourself from a job that you don't have to do if you don't have somebody to delegate it to, the right people to delegate it to.
And on the same bent, you often have people who are C players on your team who have been around for a long time, and it's one of the toughest things we ever have to do in business.
Mm-hmm.
But accepting and tolerating C players means it's going to be even harder to think strategically with your team.
The more you have C players, the more your company operates like a C company. And what you didn't say, Jim, is that's where the hard decision is. Who do you promote and who do you let go do something somewhere else? That's one of the hardest decisions that we all have to make. But the CEO has to make that decision. Where are we going and who are we going to take with us? Is the CEO job. Sometimes some people can't make the last trip. Quick break. Right back with Jim Alampi after the break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassing. And we're going to talk some more about some of the key best practices of CEOs.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.